2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul tells Tim the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, that they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The charge that Timothy receives from the Apostle Paul has a half dozen elements. And first on the list is that they won't endure sound doctrine. Their lusting after something other than sound doctrine is seeker-friendly.
Yes.
Sound doctrine isn't seeker-friendly. And so it fits right into the modern way of doing things. And I think it's good for us to recognize that, yes, Paul wrote this to Timothy, and yes, we can watch Benny Hinn or TV Jakes or whoever and say, look at them, aren't they silly? When we do that, it would be good if we first took a little inventory in-house, mm-hmm, and considered a lot of the silliness in which we might be engaged. This is the fourth E of the Dispensational Bible Institute's four E's, where you evaluate how you're doing. And when you have a mentality that says everybody's right and nobody's wrong, there's no evaluation ever going to take place.
That's it.
When you see the statement about teachers, didn't Paul begin the chapter in verse 2 by saying, preach?
Yes.
They don't want that.
No.
They want a teacher. Now, teaching installs information. Mm-hmm. Preaching stirs up previously installed information.
Yes.
So, Paul tells Timothy, verse 2, preach.
Yes.
Verse 3, your audience doesn't want preaching. Your audience wants teaching. Just last week, I said to you that a great weakness of the so-called grace movement is a paucity of preaching.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guys are teachers, and they've heaped unto themselves teachers. But you let somebody get in a pulpit and say, here's what we need to do. We need to charge hell with a squirt gun. We need to see souls saved. We need to say, oh, can't do that. Mm-hmm. Too bossy, too judgmental. They have itching ears.
Yep.
And when they don't like what they've heard, they'll jolly well down the road.
Yes.
And that'll be the last eye of you ever saw them. Rather than doing the responsible thing of going to the one that they didn't like what they heard and saying, I didn't like what I heard. Explain this to me. What's the problem? Rather than that, down the road they go. And when I've taught this before, when you turn your back on Paul, you must of necessity turn toward something else.
Yes.
Paul's 13 books, when you turn to the left, you're back there in the Gospels, in the Old Testament books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then what's commonly referred to as the 39 books of the Old Testament. When you turn to the right, you're into the Hebrew epistles and the prophetic program and the Great Tribulation. So whichever way you turn away from Paul, there's trouble waiting for you. Then, of course, finally, and the charge in verse 4, they will turn to fables. They'll believe things that just aren't so. And fables, obviously, you've got Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, and obviously there are people who actually think Lent's in the Bible, and the Good Friday, and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Fables are more accepted than what the Bible actually says.
Yes.
Fables versus the faith is what is at issue here. Now, commonly, verses 3 and 4 are assigned to unbelievers who go to liberal, unbelieving churches. And you see that even in William's commentary, which is the more dispensational of the commentary. He wrote the student's commentary. And he says that this passage is only for the professing church. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say the passages for professing Christians. By that, when they say professing Christians, they mean that's just words. They're not really saved. It's nominal Christianity in name only. Guthrie Mounts and Hebert, who wrote the Baptist Bible Dictionary, says that the passage is a reference to Christendom, whatever in the world that is. It's handy when you read in the Bible about a problem to export it to somebody else and say, well, our hands are clean.
Yeah.
We don't have that problem. That may be handy, but it is disingenuous and probably intellectually dishonest.
Yes.
The apostasy gets into our midst when we think that we're sacrosanct and beyond criticism. The end result will be we'll get stuck in the mud and become an introverted, self-serving group with virtually no outreach. Oh, I'm talking about the grace movement again, aren't I?
Amen, amen.
So, the issues raised in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, very easy to apply to the Episcopalian Church and Bishop John Spawn. Bishop Spawn doesn't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and doesn't believe in the literal resurrection. Oh, Pastor Richard Jordan doesn't believe that Jesus Christ had any attributes of deity in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and didn't find out who he was and what was going on until Acts chapter 7. You put an ignorant Jew on the cross who didn't know what was happening, according to Richard Jordan. Now, we can point to Bishop Spong, and everybody in the Grace Movement will agree what he says is wrong.
Yep.
You bring it closer to home, you listen to what the man says, and be objective about it, read the material, and you say to yourself, Benny Hinn never said anything as bad as Richard Jordan did.
Amen.
And Benny Hinn doesn't say anything good, hardly.
No.
But when it comes to demeaning the deity of Christ and robbing him of all the attributes of God, he displayed none of the attributes of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and didn't know who he was until Father God told him from heaven, Thou art my Son, in thee I'm well pleased. Jesus didn't know he was the Son of God till then, according to Richard Jordan. Now, really, that is so wrong, it's almost childishly wrong. It's amazingly bad exegesis. Why? Christ knew he was about his Father's business when he was 12 years old in Luke chapter 2 in the temple.
Yeah.
To say that it wasn't until he was water baptized and he hears the voice from heaven, oh, that's who I am, really, all about that. What a stupid thing. And if you believed it, and I hope nobody does, why would you say it in mixed company? Why would you ever export such stupidity? As not a failure to stand with right doctrine and heap teachers onto themselves, then exactly the pattern of mid-Acts Pauline dispensational supposed right dividers.
Yes, exactly.
Was not the inability to stand fast on right doctrine, wasn't the failure to care about doctrine on full display in Orlando, Florida at the Unity Conference, where more than a dozen preachers stood up and said, hey, I'm an idiot.
Yes, they did.
By participating in that conference with a Bible corrector as their headline speaker, Les Feldick. By the way, the Berean Searchlight, Pastor Stamm in his books, and I've got probably 40 pages of correspondence from Pastor Stamm. They like to call people like me KJ only, and that is a disparaging term. You're King James only. Well, not in French, the Louis Sagan. Not in Spanish, the Valera de Rena. So, don't give me this. I would ask for a different appellation. those aren't mountains. I would draw the line between me as a Bible believer. I believe the Bible I've got.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they as Bible correctors. And it seems to me that better identifies
yes.
the real posture. Because to say King James only is ridiculous. I have a 1769 King James Bible in front of me. I don't have a 1611
right.
or a 1621. I've got a 1769. I know this is a fifth edition. I know there weren't any words changes. I know it was about orthography and calligraphy. But don't be trying to hang a stigma on me and he's a King James only. Really? I believe God preserved his word. I've got a Bible.
Amen.
I'm a Bible believer. Let's
yes.
look at you. What's your final authority?
Bookshelf.
Bookshelf. As Pastor Sam famously waved his arm in his library and said, there's my Bible. Who knew what's on his library shelves? Maybe he doesn't have one. It's just a ridiculous posture. So, the inability of men to stand up. One thing that Dr. Peter Sturgis Ruckman of the Baptist Bible Institute in Pensacola, Florida, and the Bible Baptist Bookstore and the Bible Baptist Bulletin, he's a Baptist.
Yes,
one thing that he said to me, he stayed at my house for a week,
yep.
and one thing he said to me was, Terry, he said, you wouldn't like the dry cleaners, and by that he meant the mid-acts dispensations, because they can't preach. They're a bunch of whiners
yep.
and a bunch of little girls in panty waists.
Yes. Amen, amen.
30 years later, I can tell you the man was right about the character of the leadership of the movement.
Yes.
Have a nice day. Cowardly panty waists.
Yes.
Shameful. Disgusting. The devil could sit on their lap and they'd have something nice to say about him.
But not us.
But not me. So the Unity Conference was a demonstration of cowardice.
Yes.
You know, unity does not come at the expense of doctrine, which their conference did. Everybody's right, nobody's wrong.
Yeah.
Unity comes in agreement of right doctrine.
Yes.
So unity, to get to unity, you're going to have to sort out the issues.
Yes.
And the pillar and ground of truth is going to have to settle these things and not leave everything up the air, up in the air, and just sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
The grace movement has heaped onto itself teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first grace conference in Chicago where I just showed up. I wasn't on the schedule. It wasn't, you know, I just was there. I was learning about the movement, learning about who's this and who's that and what's, and still parsing it out. So I got invited to speak. I wasn't expecting to. I was slipped into the schedule on Sunday morning. And you would have thought I was Moses. The preaching had been so bad. All day Friday, all day Saturday, when I got up there and actually preached a little bit, the folks, whoo, this is different.
Yeah, it was.
Some of the worst, they weren't preachers. There was a guy there named Saibot. What a disaster. The head of the Things to Come Mission Board spoke twice. They should have shot him after the first one. Correcting the Bible and fixing this. And, what a disaster. Teachers. So, next year at that conference, I'm the opening speaker, and I'm again the other day, the next day, and you'd have thought I was a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, we're glad you're... What are you going to be talking? Oh, right, don't. Because every... It's not that I'm that good, folks. They were that awful. twice plucked out by the roots. Awful. I bought a complete set. It was back then the big old VCR tapes of a previous year's conference, and I watched the whole thing. One guy from Detroit got so tangled up in his underwear, he is in the pulpit, he can't find where he is in his notes, he can't find where he is in his Bible, and he began to cry. He left the pulpit, the camera's still static, he's gone. He went back to the hotel and left. I mean, we're talking quality here, folks. Well, I was so startling to them that their main missionary guy, who starts in a monotone, the whole middle is a monotone, and ends in a monotone, was told, you ought to watch Terry. See, he has gestures, and see how he moves around. It was damn gross.
Yeah.
Dan came up for his next message, and he said, I've been told that I should see what Terry's doing and move around. So he walked over to the door and he walked back and he said, there. And then he did it in monotone. Put everybody to sleep. They got teachers. They don't have preachers. And you know why? Teaching is non-confrontational.
Yeah.
Doesn't have an agenda. Shouldn't. It's the installation of doctrine. Preaching, how they couldn't stand those. One thing that the grace movement is awfully good at doing is finding a nitinoid of minutia and making a mountain out of it. Finding some verse someplace and changing everything. One fellow who was a farmer from southern Illinois found the verse about being the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when he got done, he had sticky tabs all over his body. Because the Holy Ghost was like a pad of sticky tabs. And you learn a verse, and you learn a pen. Now if you're 8 years old, that's hilarious.
Yes.
Embarrassing. Paul warns in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 about not enduring sound doctrine. The source of doctrine is a Bible.
Yes.
The source of doctrine is not the collected writings of Cornelius Stamm. The source of doctrine for E.C. Moore and his buddies is not the collected tapes of Bullinger or the collected writings of Bullinger. Our source of doctrine, sound doctrine, is God's Word rightly divided. Guess what? As we pointed out in verse 2, if you don't have the Word, you can't preach it.
Yes.
If your final authority is not God's Word, I beg you to tell everybody before you do one more thing. What is your final authority?
Yes. Absolutely.
And if you're going to tell me it's Jacinius and Wigram's and Strong's and Vine's, great. I'll never listen to you. I have nothing, you're never going to say anything I'm interested in because you're just parsing verses and parsing Greek and coming up with your agenda items.
Yep.
So, it's almost borderline sinful to disagree with Cornelius Stamm if you're a part of the Green Searchlight movement. How do I know that? Because the fact is, Cornelius R. Stamm died.
Yes.
He can't go to the board meetings anymore.
No.
He can't influence the giving any longer. He's dead. So when you publish his commentary, such as Galatians, and you're the new president, and you know Stamm is wrong, you write in the foreword and you write in the appendix, well, I disagree, but he's the adult and I'm the kid. Mm-hmm. With that bravery forging ahead, the Grace Movement will stay stuck, that Debrean part of the Grace Movement will stay stuck in the mud right where Cornelius Stamm left him when he wrote his last words. I went down to Tennessee to a conference and then went back the next year with all the same people. Went to Illinois to a conference, went back the next year with all the same people. Went down to Florida to a conference, went back the next year with all the same people. Apparently, if you're a mid-Acts Pauline dispensational, you are allergic to new people and allergic to seeing souls saved and getting some new people that are green as grass and raising them upright.
Yeah.
It's not what you do. Better to steal other people's people.
Yes.
So, to do that, a ministry of gossiping and backstabbing is really at the front of so many grace assemblies, because that's how they get people.
Yeah.
You need to come here because he's this. You need to go there because he's this.
Mm-hmm.
Has not the Grace Movement become an introverted clique?
Yep.
Composed of people who are there rather than an army engaged in seeing souls saved and saints edified. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
Has not the Grace Movement, since it's little, since it's of no consequence, when the big boys get together, they don't even talk about us.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're that way and nobody pays attention to us, hasn't it been common among Grace churches? You can go right to Tip City, you can go right to Springfield, Ohio, and see perfect examples, trotting out the Easter Bunny, trotting out Santa Claus, trotting out all the things the big boys do. We want to be like the big boys. I thought we started because we didn't want to be like the big boys.
Amen.
One problem might be we're stuck on ourselves. We can read the Bible. We can write and divide the Bible. We're smarter than the Baptists. We're smarter than the Church of Christ. When did that start being a big deal? We become fools. I understand the problem with denominationalism. But I'll tell you, having worked for huge companies and corporations, some not quite so huge, I miss there being a place where the buck eventually stops.
Yeah, it's needful.
Where there's a, what do we do, boss? And he tells you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Place where the buck stops. We don't have a place where the buck stops. Unless it would be in one of the preacher's pockets. stores, it was about $26 million each year. I was spending a little over $2 million in advertising. Which, you know, less than 10%, that's a good rate. Making money hand over fist, quite frankly, with the line and the merchandise in which I had charge. And four floors above me, some men had a meeting around a mahogany table, having just recently borrowed for the Kroger Company $75 million so that they could do some expanding. In the course of expanding, they decided there were some things that they would have to cut back on, because they're going to have to pay the $75 million back to their Fifth Third Bank.
Yep.
I was there the day that the guy walked past my desk and said, "I'm going to the bank." Big deal. Have you ever borrowed $75 million? That's what I'm going to do. Really? I didn't know there was that much money in the whole world. So some of us were called up to the meeting later in the day. On the elevator on the way down from the seventh floor to the fourth floor, my advertising budget disappeared. My $2 million gone. Now, I didn't like that. But there was a place where the buck stopped.
Yes.
And he had a different picture. He wasn't looking at one little microcosm of the business. He was looking at 1,400 stores. He was looking at a chain that's doing $62 million a week back then. Mm-hmm. Now, it does nearly $1 billion a week. He was looking at changes in the way that Kroger became. It went from little stores of 14,000 square foot typically to 35,000, now 55 and 65 is where it's at now.
Yeah.
And they seem to found a comfort level right in where they are now. So smaller than the Hypermarch, but in a good size, and they're making money hand over fist again.
Yeah.
So I wasn't privy to all that, and if you'd explained it to me, I wouldn't have understood half of what you're talking about. He was where the buck stopped.
Yeah.
He said, "Son, mm-hmm. you're not going to have $2 million to spend anymore. We've determined Kroger is a retailing company, not a marketing company."
Yeah.
That's the whole explanation I got for my life's work going down the toilet. Mm-hmm. I've been on the cover of Supermarket News. I've been on the cover of Supermarket Marketing. Gone. Poof. I miss having a place for the buck stops.
Yes.
Would that there was a Schofield today, or a Bullinger today, or, you know, a great mind that just put everybody else in such shade, we were happy to be in the shade, see where the tree grows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many things about the Grace Movement are sad.
Yep.
Every time Sam changes the King James Bible based on Westcott Hort, doesn't tell the reader. Shameful.
Yeah.
Only the originals were inerrant. So no Bible printed today is believable. You have to correct them all.
Mm.
That's an untenable position intellectually.
Yes.
And think about your audience. What's their chance of ever caring about the Bible when you have to correct it? How do you correct it? We have to have the library, you have to have the Greek information, you have to. Everybody's out.
Yes.
Except a couple of anointed ones.
Mm-hmm.
After Pastor Sadler had been the head of the Berean Bible Institute, I shouldn't call him the Berean Bible Institute because they don't have a Bible. Call him the Berean Institute. I shouldn't call him the Berean because Bereans are unsaved Jews in the temple in Acts chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. So we'll just call him the Institute.
Sounds reasonable.
When Pastor Stabler had been the president of the Institute for a couple of years and I read his stuff, I said to Carol, "This guy's going to have nicer, shinier paper. He's going to have better staples.
Yep.
He's going to have a better post office box. He's going to do a wonderful thing with all the mechanics, all those things that somebody needs to do.
Yeah.
But when it comes to advancing the grace movement, we're waiting.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be somebody else.
Yes.
I've read enough of his stuff to know he's a pedestrian. He's really rehashing what's already been said by Sam. So we're in a holding pattern. By the way, the Searchlight does have bigger print, bigger paper, shinier paper, better lighthouses, and nice tables.
Yes.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And if you read it, you'll retch by page 3.
Yeah.
The heartbreak is Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division has tremendous potential.
Yeah.
Because it's right. What it lacks is opportunity because it lacks leadership. There's no place where the buck stops. And so rather than advancing, we're circling and doing the swirling. Failed leadership. I showed up at the party way late. By the time I showed up at the party, Pastor Sam had written in his memoirs that Richard Jordan was the biggest mistake he ever made.
No.
Oops! You have to know the situation to know it was Richard Jordan because Pastor Sam didn't have the guts to put it in his memoir.
Mm-hmm.
The name Richard Jordan. I've got 40 pages of letters I can show you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were there then, you know, if you read his memoirs, you know it's over Pastor Jordan deceiving the Searchlight people about his King James position. And then when it came out, he gets fired over it. And he's not that strong in the King James Bible. He's just way stronger than Sam and those boys. So you've got sniveling, gossiping, panty waist to... When the worst thing that happened in your 90 years of life happens, you can't even name the name. That's not Pauline.
No.
So rather than talking about the Methodists and the Episcopals and the Southern Baptists, and how about Rod Parsley up in Columbus? I mean, if you want to have a hoot, he's hoot-worthy.
Yes, he is.
He's so bonkers that the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, now the New York Jets, turned down the meeting. He wouldn't even go there in Tebow in Columbus, Ohio. And that was a good decision to not go.
Yes.
But rather than talking about them as if we could do anything about it, and as if we really cared much, how about right here in River City?
Yes.
I'm guessing we salve our seared consciences by picking on other people rather than seeing we're a mess.
Yes.
Now, I listen to the Democrats. We're not as bad as the Republicans. I listen to the Republicans. We're not as bad as the Democrats.
No.
I ain't too hot on either one of you.
No.
So, well, you know, I came to the Grace Movement and I expected agreement around Pauline dispensational understanding. Now, I came from the Baptists, and there's 4,000 different flavors of Baptists.
Yes.
I came from the Lutherans, and there's Evangelical Lutherans. There is the LC of America. There is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's half a dozen flavors of Lutheranism, and Luther said, don't call yourself a Lutheran.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we came for the brethren, which used to be the United Methodists before we split from them, and the United Methodists used to be Episcopal before we went. But they come here and they expect everything to be copacetic. So rather than go through the painstaking difficulty of sorting out the issue, we just sweep them under the rug because we don't have a heart for right doctrine.
That's it.
Apostasy follows a pattern.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Firstly, when you put yourself in a position of saying no Bible is right, the authority shifts from God to man.
Yes.
God gave us a book as our final authority, but if it's not our final authority, something else must be.
Yes.
In the grace movement, it kind of depends who you hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
As to who might be your final authority.
Yes.
And that's just wrong.
Yes, it is.
The Pastor Sadler and the Searchlight folks, the Institute folks. Boy, when you winnow down their name, there's not much left, you know?
Yeah.
Bereans is wrong because that's unsaved Jews in the synagogue. Bible is wrong because they don't have one. They can save a lot of ink, you know?
Yes, they could.
But they have no use for the Jordanites.
Nope.
Because it's the worst thing that ever happened to them, according to Pastor Stan in his own memoirs. So when they have a conference at Cedar Lake, and I have 20 speakers.
Yeah.
All about, you know what their subject is this next time? Christ.
Really?
Christ. All different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. You suppose in 30 hours of preaching and teaching, somebody could slip in one message about the attacks on the deity of Christ in the grace movement? Oh, no. You end up with a bunch of people feathering their own nests.
Yeah.
Again, I was late to the party. The Grace Movement had been running a long time. Stam already had position. Satter already had position. Jordan already had position there. Maybe it should have dawned on me when Pastor Jordan had somebody throw a bomb in one of his services.
Yeah.
That things weren't all as they might be.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe it should have dawned on me when Stam said Jordan's the worst thing that ever happened. I know this for certain. God gave His Word. He starts with a message.
Yes.
From the message, you read the material and develop a mission. That mission is executed by human beings. Human beings, when they're getting the job done, you could call that a movement.
Yes.
Don't go any further. That's what we ought to be doing.
Yes.
We ought to be God-worthy. With a message God gave us, God-word doing His mission, God-word being His people,
yes.
God-word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, doing what He wants to do, so saved and set up.
That's right.
When you lose your message, it's in the original Greek, no Bible's right. When the men become more important than the message. How do you know what your mission is if you don't have a final authority? And if you don't have a place where the buck stops, how do you know what you're supposed to be doing? So in due time, the mid-Acts Pauline dispensational rite dividers will be as meaningful as are the Shakers and the Amish and the German Baptists and the Mennonites. Will be a memory.
Now, there used to be people be that. There ain't none of them no more.
Since they're all gone, let's build them a monument. We need a statue of, what was that guy's name? Strom? Strand? Oh, Stan. Where is old Stan? Oh, he's in a mausoleum. The movement's dead. I think the Grace Movement has been scheduling the last roundup for a while. The preaching was so bad at that first Chicago conference at which I spoke. I said, I know you folks call this a Grace Movement, but somebody needs to throw a stick on the ground so I can tell which way it's going. It's going so slow. Carol saw something that I didn't see. I'm walking, moving around like I do, and preaching and teaching, and I made a statement in the course of it that you need to be Bible believers first. Don't you dare believe a word I tell you. Don't you dare believe a word Pastor Jordan tells you if you can't verify it from this book, Rightly Divided. And Pastor and Sister Carol saw Pastor Jordan make a face. If Rooks could kill, I would have died right then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she instructed me that you put the Bible over Pastor Jordan, and he doesn't want it that way. Yeah. He wants to be the final authority.
Oh, yeah. That's clear.
Well, I didn't see it, you know. I'm running around the room, and I'm looking at the audience, not the other pastors. Well, there's something to the problem. Pete Ruffman is a scaly-hided, hard-headed, old Baptist fella. He got more problems than you can shake a stick at, but one of them would not be equivocating.
Amen.
I like that.
Yes.
He doesn't beat around the bush. Mm. He plows right through the bush, and if that happened to be your favorite rose bush, tough apples. When he gave me the warning that it did, he evaluates his young men. He's got a school down there, and Pastor Jordan went to. That's where Pastor Jordan learned Shemham Japheth and racial prophecy from a fellow racist, segregationist, integration denier, Dr. Ruffin. Have a nice day. Don't ask me. Don't tell me. I've read all 109 of Pete's books. I've listened to over 2,000 hours of his tapes. He stayed at my house. How much time did he spend with you?
That's right.
Don't tell me. I'll tell you. He's a segregationist to his German white Aryan core.
Yep. Well, yeah.
And when he evaluates his young men in his school, he evaluates them with some things that are, to my mind, questionable. He expects them to preach on the street.
Good.
He expects them to knock on doors.
Good.
He expects them to, rather than talking about a ball game, talking about, well, got one saved last Thursday.
Yep.
He expects that kind of activity from them. And preaching on the street, he's almost made a form of idolatry.
Yep.
That, you ever street preach, Brother McLean? Oh, yeah. Well, or you're okay with that. If I'd have said no, I wouldn't have been okay. I wouldn't use that criteria. I'd use clarity and rightness of doctrine. I don't know of anything that I would put over that. Because everything we do, reproof, correction, instruction, rightness, this is all based on the first thing on the list, is doctrine.
Amen.
We've got to get it right. So, every man who has graduated the Dispensational Bible Institute, I told him, pretend like you don't know me. You name my name and half the grace movement will hate you and the other half think you're an idiot. Be your own man.
Yes.
When the bell rings, it's your round.
Mm-hmm.
Your 3 minutes.
Yes.
Your time to get up.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, watch thou in all things. Now note the all things has 3 parts. Enduring afflictions, doing the work of an evangelist to which the grace movement is allergic.
Yes.
And making full proof of thy ministry. That should be thy, not they. Making full proof of the ministry, how do you do that? Well, I think the best way is to come up with some convoluted, kooky doctrines nobody had ever heard before and preach it at a grace conference to get everybody talking. Let's try that. And be as the Athenians, learning some new thing. So they got that going on.
Yep.
Do the work of an evangelist. Now, the problem with the 3 things on Paul's list there in verse 5 is they are woefully outdated.
Yeah.
Why go door to door when you can Twitter?
Ooh.
Why talk to people when you can have a Facebook wall? Why go to the jail? Why go to the nursing home? Why go to the mission downtown when you can put it up on YouTube?
Yeah.
One reason I can think of is the Bible tells you to preach. The Bible tells you to go door to door. The Bible tells you to do the work of an evangelist. These methods clearly aren't getting the job done. Do you know how many now Facebook accounts there are? Over 900 million. That's 3 for every person in America.
Wow.
Twitter seems to be a way to say something stupid in 140 characters so that you can put up your apology on your Facebook page and cry on YouTube. I got Bible where Paul goes door to door. I got Bible where Paul is evangelizing. I got Bible where Paul is in leaders' faces. Truth to power, Festus. What the guys have done, not all of them, what some of the guys have done is let their laziness steer them toward the course of least resistance. May I respectfully suggest, or disrespectfully, if you take it that way, the course of least resistance is always a mistake.
Yes.
You'd better find out where the problems are and deal with them rather than taking the course of least resistance.
Amen.
Well, we got 1,000 hits.
I'll give you the 1,001st.
Enough with hits. I mean,
name me those 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Name me 500 of them. There's 50 people.
Yeah.
It's not real.
No.
Acts chapter 20, verse 20. I was one of the first things I was taught. You need to have 20/20 vision.
Yes.
Acts 20:20. Declare it publicly, go door to door.
Yes.
How about that?
Sounds good.
Seeker friendly is doing it backwards.
Yeah.
Twitter, Facebook, that's not doing it at all.
No. It's wasting time.
It's wasting time, there's no doubt. You know why, folks? Hit your Facebook page. You know why, folks? They want to find out what's wrong with you so they can email you or tweet you and tell you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have had a website if somebody else hadn't built it for me. And I know that a website is pretty much like a calling card.
Says who you are.
Out of the hundreds of thousands of hits on my website, as far as I'm concerned, all the hits came from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Or a flock of mosquitoes.
Yep.
Or Exodus 14 frogs. I don't see those people.
No.
They don't have the courage to tell me they're in 1 in 100,000 will actually email you and give you a name and address. I love these fools. They're so digital. I'd like the free book I heard you talk about.
No name,
no address. I let my psychic network subscription virus. Well, maybe their internet handle will tell me. Their internet handle. Graced out. That's a new internet handle I just got today. Graced out. Oh, that helps me a lot. Who is this person? Our apostle extols the virtues of the Thessalonian church because they were doing the work.
Yes.
They knew what the work was. They had the book to do it with, and they went out and did it.
Yes.
And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 9. How exciting to have Paul and Barnabas. They show up with Silvanus, wasn't he there too? And they show up and they had nothing to do. Because the work had already been done by the people that were already there. Wow. How exciting. How wonderful is that? We should henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. If you don't have a Bible, you're always going to be tossed to and fro by whoever is the most clever speaker, the most clever preacher. Yeah. Carrying about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine, sleight of hand, cunning, craftiness. Do you suppose there's any relevance to those words? But not in the grace movement, because everybody's right, nobody's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, we've outsmarted Paul by not talking about things we don't want to talk about. We've outsmarted Paul. We don't go door to door. We got a Facebook wall.
Yeah.
Too often, today's preachers are in it for wrong reasons.
Yes.
They want the notoriety. They tend to be lazy minded. I'm embarrassed. The number of people I've asked a question, you know, how you doing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, coffee. No, I don't want cream sugar. What good books you read lately? Well, yeah. And they'll spit some out like, well, you're Hebrews. You know. There'd been a flap with the Secret Service. I couldn't wait to get to the library and the President's Secret Service behind the scenes. I got Janet Napoliano telling me, Napoleon ice cream, whatever her name is. She's telling me,
this is an isolated incident. This never happened before.
Yeah. I'm thinking, wasn't there a book?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I got it in my hand. So I asked him, what good books? I want to read good books. If you've read a good book, you tell me the title. I'm glad to hear it. Lazy-minded. McLeaney's old-fashioned. No, it's Bible.
Yes.
Forget me. Find your tactics in these words.
Yes.
Then we'll have something.
Amen.
Preach the word!
But in 140 characters.
Too much of Christianity goes to church as if it were an entertainment venue.
Yeah.
And they sit there and they're not engaged.
No.
They're not caring. They're not trying to profit from it and learn and grow. They're observers. And if they don't like what they're seeing, they'll go observe someplace else.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God's Bible has been replaced with digital doodads. And today's preacher thinks today's new ways of doing things are better. The middle word in our clarion call verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, is workmanship.
Amen.
Works involved in workmanship. Where are the curious minds? There's a couple, but not many. Where's the intellect? Where's the heart for unsaved people that put somebody out on the street? Well, I looked at the Grace Movement, having been warned by Dr. Ruckman 30-some years ago. And all I can say is he's right. I'm largely sick of it. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, but I can't lie to you. It's disgusting. The cowardice. The shame face of. We've got more liars that I've learned about in the Grace Movement than I ever knew in all my Baptist years.
Yeah.
Sly, shifty, devious. A pastor in Florida, Fort Lauderdale area, says, well, Brother McLean, you know, we let some black ones in here, but they don't stay long because we don't like seeing black ones and white ones together. Now that was, I'm old, that was in 1862 during the Civil War. No.
No.
It was more recently.
Oh, yes.
Right, he's going to love Richard Jordan's racial prophecy, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But we're better than those folks. It's disgusting to me.
Yep.
So, I continually get in trouble.
Thank you.
I say, Fred, you ought to preach that so everybody knows exactly where you stand.
Yes.
Let everybody know. I had it on my website for months. The letter where Steve Atwood says, I'm sorry I lied to you. Where do you go next? Is his, sorry that I lied to you, another lie that he heaped on the last one because it's the appropriate thing to say when you've been outed?
Yeah.
I get sick of it. If we had the greatness, whether it was the mind of a Bullinger and the heart of an O'Hare, and put the ingredients together, together, this stuff would die and fall of its own weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only reason some of these guys, whether it be Ricky Kurth or Sadler or the new guy at Grand Rapids, I can't think of his name, the only reason they think they're big fish is that our aquarium is so small.
Yes. Yes.
We're like guppies in one of those little fish bowls that you get at the carnival.
Yeah.
We're the big fish. No, if you were in the ocean, you'd know how little you are.
Yes.
Well, I invented, you endured it. We'll pick up next time with Paul's deathbed testimony.